Great today, Joe. I love to see you.
I love to see you.
And I'll leave it at that. But I'll also say I'm enjoying your, I feel like you more than almost anyone I know go through stages of fashion. Participation in and deflection of.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you commenting on anything specific, or you just?
I guess I was thinking the pants, the socks, the sweatshirt, the combo, the three-way combo.
The look. And what is it? Is it just like a cream look?
Yeah, it's like a cream-ish look, a little bit loud with the color of the socks.
Well, the socks you don't see until, you know.
Yeah, but you might be aware of it. I might look at you and go, I bet you he's got some aqua-colored socks on.
I do.
Yeah.
Just in the bottom part. And if you're going to be looking at me, then why the hell aren't you staring at my voice? Because this is an audio format, Mike. This is, you know what I would do, the podcast for myself, Joey Greer, and Mike Castle, who's not going to say his name, is too proud to do it.
Yeah.
Give you insight into things that you couldn't care to think about on your own. Because life is too complicated,
yeah.
And might I say, a little too fascinating.
Yeah.
And we're here to bring you down to earth, whoa, ground you in the fact that maybe the benign is actually more nine than you thought it was. It's a 10. Oh,
less buh.
I don't understand.
Yeah, you right? Follow if you just thought it, about it for 1 second.
But thanks again for being here. And Mike gave me a compliment for fashion. And I want to say, if you're out there listening, I bet you got clothes on. I hope you do. If you listen to this in the nude, no. I'm going to say it right now.
Have you ever done that? Sometimes I once was listening to a podcast while I was naked, but I was taking a bath, but then that felt weird.
Felt weird.
Yeah. Or I one time answered a call from someone I don't know that well, and I was in the bath, and then I felt like I had to get off the phone.
That's a power play.
Yeah. No, but I kept getting scared that he was going to hear the dripping water.
Yeah. If anyone finds out you're in the bath when they're talking to you,
yes,
or you're taking a dump when you're on the phone. You.
Yes, true. But this is someone whose calls I so often don't answer that at this one time I was like, I actually feel like I have to answer.
Yeah.
And so I answered and just tried to stay as completely still as possible in the bath.
If I'm not mistaken, LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, used to have meetings while he was taking a shit, door open.
Mm.
And like you'd have to like talk to him while he was taking a shit.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the craziest thing.
Yeah.
What a power play.
Yeah.
What a toxic president.
Yeah, that is incredibly, incredibly toxic.
Cancel his ass.
Yeah.
Well, we're back on it again, y'all. This episode obviously is airing. The audio quality is good. We're back on track.
Mm-hmm.
Things are good. I feel fucking good, dude.
Yeah. After that missing episode debacle, it feels like now we're back on the proper timeline and everything is good.
Everything's good.
Yeah. Although this will be one episode 96.
Yeah.
But it feels to me like secretly we all know there's 97.
No, there's not though.
Yeah, but we'll go like, yeah, but they actually did record another one that then just got lost.
Yeah, but we didn't release it, so it doesn't matter.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, with all the guests we had
LeBron James. Stop, yeah. Dude. Stop. Yeah. Why do this?
I just wanted to mention it.
We have an audience doo-doo,
mm-hmm,
and I know what you're thinking. Is it Patreon? Yeah, of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know it is, mm-hmm, all right? But it doesn't mean that we're not going to get to the email.
He still reads the other ones.
And
someone has to delete them.
No, they're not getting deleted. They will be read.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to honor the Patreon.
Yeah. We're now forwarding all the emails to our intern, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff is who we pay to delete emails.
You're Jeff, though.
Right, but I just hit delete. I have the blindfold on. I hit delete.
Paying Jeff? No, I'm not paying Jeff.
Well, paying him an experience, a work experience.
Yeah, well, then
it's not every day that you get to wear a blindfold and click a mouse button.
That's really true.
Yeah.
And doing that in a stressful work environment where, mm-hmm, multiple people are screaming at you, banging pots and, mm-hmm, pans, that's an environment you got to either get because you're a Nepo, yep, baby, or you know someone like me who's going to be able to provide that service for you, Mike.
And if you survive it, it's sort of what I'm realizing is it sort of gives you like a V for Vendetta, EV Hammond survival narrative where I kind of go like,
how many V's
EV Hammond, that's,
and then
the,
you got V for
name.
Vendetta,
yeah, that's the character name in V for Vendetta. Her name is EV Hammond,
so she gets V,
EV, yes, because when V meets her, he goes like, oh, EV, of course. You know, like he's pointing out the synchronicity as well, as though it's all fateful.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, but I'm saying anyway that when I'm deleting the emails and I'm blindfolded and it's the stressful environment, it's sort of as though I'm in a prison cell, they shaved my head, and someone is slipping me notes through a little hole in the wall, like E.V. Hammond's.
Well, then I guess we got to up the office culture here.
Yeah. Yes, there could be more sort of narratives going on. I would say.
And if you're on the Patreon, that's the kind of environment we want to give you. Yes. All right. But if you don't want to join the Patreon, you don't want to be blindfolded and have pots and pans knocked around while you're doing work, etc., you can still email at us at youknowpod@gmail.com. And we're going to get to, I swear to you, I promise you this.
Yeah.
But this one does come from our Patreon. It's a pay-to-play system.
Yeah.
I hate to be that guy. But you know me.
I don't think you hate to be that guy.
So here we go.
I would say you take great pleasure in being that guy. A huge part of your identity is tied up in being that guy.
I'm not that guy.
But an even bigger part of your personality is tied up in saying you're not that guy.
They go on to say, "Dear Matt and Joey, sorry for the late subscription to the Patreon, fellas. It's all right.
It's fine.
You're
it's
here
fine.
Now.
We forgive you.
We already got your money. I only have so much I can spend on Patreon a month because of the wife. Am I right?
Yep.
All caps, 3 question marks. Anyways, I had to drop another improv comedy pod to make room in the budget. Kind of dark, huh?
Yeah, that is dark. It's a dog-eat-dog world.
It really is. Anyways, which I believe is a nod to Alchemy This, and I appreciate it. If it's not, whatever. I interpret it that way. So, sure. Too late. You gifted me something.
Sure. Sure, whatever,
giving that back. I got a steamy old history doo-doo for you.
Okay.
In the final days of WW2, which is what?
World War II.
That's right. As both the Allies and the Soviet forces closed on Berlin, which is?
In Germany.
That's right. Eisenhower, as commander of the Allied forces, halted/delayed the advance of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd armies. As a result, the Soviet Union won the race to Berlin and took the city instead. Realistically, the Allies could have made it to Berlin first. Some of the reasons most commonly cited for this decision were, and he goes on to list 4. Number 1, the damage of the Battle of the Bulge. 2, the cost of taking the city. 3, taking the city would, in effect, mean that the military was dictating international policy. Mm-hmm. And 4, the very real chance of crossfire and the possibility of igniting armed conflict. As a result, the groundwork of the Cold War as we knew it was formed. And ironically, Eisenhower would later deal with the consequences of this decision as president. This does not mean, however, that it was necessarily the wrong decision. Boys, what would you have done?
Wow. Well, that's great. What is that book, The Bastard Brigade?
Yep.
Yeah, that book deals with a lot of this stuff. It's the only, I know so little about this sort of, I don't, even though I am a dad, I have not read a lot of World War II books.
Get ready.
But I did read that one after I became a dad. But, you know, that was all about sabotaging the Nazi nuclear program. And so I did learn a fair amount of this sort of the weird tenuous line between the Allied forces and the Russians as it pertained to Berlin. But it was also because there was all of this stuff about trying to get the uranium and plutonium and stuff. And it was like, I think like the Americans like stole a bunch of it from the Soviets or like figured out where it was and took it. But I mean, to the point of that, it is all leading directly to the Cold War conflict and stuff. Mm-hmm. So what I would do is I actually think that it all worked out mostly fine in terms of how that all went down. Like I because I do think that that number 3 bullet point about that it would that basically that it becomes like this other kind of international sort of thing. Like if you take Berlin, then you kind of have all these other sort of responsibilities. It sort of makes sense to me. I mean, I feel like the main thing is, you know, I wish that there was a world in which just like the general way that we engage with Russians, whenever the first alliances of any kind were happening with America and Russia, we should have gone differently. Like, I wish that there was better communication where it wasn't this, like, we're two sides of the same coin, like, forever in this secret battle, you know? I think that sucks and is very stressful.
Yeah, it's always sucky when, like, culturally, like, there is a distaste between people.
Yeah.
When it's all propaganda to say so. When normally, everyone is getting fucked by the powers that be.
Yeah.
It's not like, it wasn't a better there or better here. Yeah, we had grocery stores and stuff like that, but you know what they had? I don't know. I'm not familiar. But I'm sure
they had rock farms.
They had rock farms. Yeah. Which, dude, think about that. Yeah. That's pretty chill.
Farming rocks. Crack those suckers open.
The last time you were at a grocery store, they had a rock section.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, they had that over there, apparently. That's fucking legit. This is what I would have done. First off, the World War II would have never kicked off. Hitler would have been taken care of way before that. By me, okay? I'm not going to say I would have assassinated, but let's just put it this way. He wouldn't have been around in a way that was alive.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay? Yes. So you do have to wonder, though, if in like the sort of fallout after World War One, if like a Hitler demagogue type was like inevitable, like if it wasn't him, then someone else would fill the power vacuum.
No, because like I would have shut everything down.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay, because I was picturing that you go back a few generations and you off his relatives. So there is no Hitler.
I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
What do they do?
You might be like, they're totally innocent.
They just had a psycho son or cousin who was an asshole.
Yeah, like, that's a good point. That's actually very understanding.
Like, fuck that. Like, no way. Like, no, take this guy out of the equation, all right? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean in the way you're thinking, but I do mean, let's just say he's not around anymore. If you know what I'm saying.
He's a square.
What?
He's not around. Now he's a square.
He's a loser. Yeah, I know that. But I'm just saying, like, no, he's not here physically.
Sure.
He's not here.
Yeah.
Because he got taken care of.
I understand.
If you know what I mean. All right.
Yeah, and I like that.
All right, right.
This is you as like a covert operative. This is you trying to be really subtle. I won't say what happened to him. I will just say he got taken care of.
So there's no war that's going to be popping off, right? Mm-hmm. None of like the crimes against humanity. None of that shit's going.
So 1930s are actually quite chill.
They're fucking popping off.
Yeah.
And you know what's happening?
All right. Bebop.
Berlin is going nuts. We talked about techno Berlin, okay? But the party scene explodes,
nice.
Dude. We get the internet there, okay?
Yeah.
They give it
1930s.
Yeah, and it's free.
Uh-huh.
You know what else we get? We get Flaming Hot Cheetos right then, 1930s. Yeah.
Because the production toward the ideal society is not getting slowed down by this whole world.
That's what
war
I'm
thing.
Saying.
All Instead, we can focus on flavors, on music.
God. Well, the generations of humanity that are survived, you know what I'm saying? The people that are actually there to like work on shit. Because it looked like right before World War One, when you look at like early video and all that shit, when they were just like, oh, someone's out there in a park taking pictures and everyone's wearing suits and
the
crap.
The Lumiere brothers.
Whatever. I don't know their name. But I'm just saying, those brothers doing that work. Look like, they look pretty fun.
Sure.
Look pretty fun.
Totally.
So I'm
sorry. I do wish that we had learned with like the massive, massive scale of death in World War One. I wish we had learned to not do.
Let's not do that again.
So many more wars.
Let's not do that again. And it was so close. It was like right there at the heels of what had just happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So no more wars. We make sure no more wars happen. And honestly, Soviet Union, America, kind of the economic systems that say who they are politically don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is we actually get to get there. And one day one of them goes, you know, it's just some Berlin, so Soviet guy says this, and American guy's like, "Oh, I was just there too." And they're like, "I had some Flamin' Hot Cheetos, me too." And I was on the Wi-Fi network, me as well.
Yeah.
And I came up with this idea where we can play a game where I'm at, and you can play a game where you at, and then we can play it. We could just be at where we're at and play it together.
Yeah.
And then why don't we start a little game? And they go, "Okay, why don't we do that?" And then they gave us the first PS5.
Oh,
so
they
we
jump
get
right
a
to
PS5
the five.
Then.
Yeah.
So just like think about history like
this. I would say you're like the modern, like influencer style version of Philip K. Dick.
Thank you.
You know, where you're coming up with this alternate history, but it is ultimately superficial and kind of like, it's sort of the leaps. You're kind of just like, all right, yeah.
Who's going to stop me? I'm too successful.
Yes, exactly. But what does the five mean in the PS5 in the 1930s?
5G, which actually gets
our
first conspiracy.
Oh, so we're still getting conspiracies.
Trump.
Yeah, we still get Trump. That sucks. No,
I can't find that.
That sucks.
Sorry,
but that's that's the butterfly.
Someone else's
effect.
Job. I'm in 1930s doing work.
Yeah,
what do you
exactly.
want me to do?
Okay, so you work for some kind of adjustment bureau style thing.
No, I don't. I work for the USA, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Department of Treasury, motherfucker.
Okay, that doesn't mean anything to me. Well, I hope that helped.
All right, this is fun. This is exciting, and you know what I love about this? It's my turn to flex on Mike, because guess what?
Yeah.
I can read too, bitch.
Now, this is interesting. Joey's flex also involved the slightest little hump of his pelvis. He kind of flexed his upper body, but I notice a distinct humping motion.
The pelvic thrust.
Yeah.
Drive with the hips.
Yeah, I've never noticed
that
before.
The hips.
Yeah.
Drive with the hips.
That's got to be a Cuban thing.
So, I was reading, out of pure curiosity, a book titled Journey to the West about the Monkey King, Sun Wukong, and this is in Chinese fictional literature.
Okay.
I've been kind of like familiar with the Monkey King.
I've never heard of
through
this.
Anime or other things. Like there's a shit ton of influences that this character has had on art, Japanese art, American art, et cetera. And I just didn't really know anything about it. And I was like, oh, you know what? I want to, same thing with mythologies, et cetera. I bet I can understand Chinese culture a little better if I understand some like pop culture references, some mm-hmm. fun fiction. So I started listening to the audiobook because I'm not going to read.
Yeah.
And it's really, really fun. The Monkey King is wild. The character is insane.
And so whenabouts did this occur?
I believe this was written in like, because this is all oral tradition stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
they write it down. And this is, I think, like, I want to say 16, 17, something around then. Like, I'm probably off, but like that's
sure.
when the version that I'm reading, translation, whatever, like uh-huh. it comes about.
Right? But then, but in the narrative of the Monkey King, when is the narrative set?
Before times.
Oh wow. Okay. So like,
humans exist, but this is like eons before us. Uh-huh. Like we,
it's
as
sort
we
of
are.
Like the Ramayana.
Yeah. So like Buddha's there, all this stuff. It's, uh-huh. it's crazy. And the Monkey King, is the titular character, this really fun personality that is then used as propaganda for many different regimes and different political factions within China in its history.
Now, I don't know if this is reductive, but is that one of the first, is that like the first Marvel character basically? First
kinda.
Superhero?
Well, like it's the first superhero I'm familiar with within Chinese fiction. I don't know Chinese
yeah.
fiction.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure. That
so like, but this, the Monkey King is, I from what I'm understanding and what I've like, yeah. pieced from the foreword of this book.
And the name is Sun Wukong.
Sun Wukong.
I love it.
And Sun is, I think, a title given to the Monkey King when he's trying to find immortality. He goes and meets with an immortal, and through, I think, a Buddhist tradition, is given like a title which means awoken.
Oh wow!
Like awoken one or something like
That's
that.
Great.
So he has like he has many names, like Sage of the Heavens, Sage of the Heaven, Equal to Heaven, or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's just constantly searching for titles and wants to be a, so
like a basketball player too. You know, they have multiple nicknames.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And some
yeah,
are
yeah.
better than others.
A lot of branding.
Yeah.
So the Monkey King is this character who is born from a stone. From heaven and earth, he just literally birthed from a giant magical stone, comes out as a stone monkey, and then is just like walking on 2 feet and is super curious and just like has all these monkey attributes.
Uh-huh.
So really curious, really annoying.
Is anyone raising him?
He raises himself.
He's out in the wild.
And he just keeps on like, you know, doing all, the first thing he does is he comes up across all these other monkeys, and he doesn't look like a monkey. He doesn't look like a human. It's like a cross between, because he walks on 2 feet. He's got like orange hair, like crazy looking, and he jumps through this waterfall and finds his cave on Flower Fruit Mountain. And the monkey said, if anybody can jump through that waterfall, you'll be our king. And he does it. Now he's the king of the monkeys of Flower nice. Fruit Mountain.
So and normally the way you become king isn't really fun.
No,
but that sounds really fun.
He just jumped through a waterfall.
Yeah, that's like kind of like every child's dream.
Exactly, yeah. So then he goes out searching for immortality because he's really sad.
Uh-huh.
And
okay, so some Buddha narrative
yep,
stuff
yep.
here.
And then he goes and he meets this one immortal, teaches him how to become immortal, gives him all these skill sets. Like he's able to,
just like that. That's great.
It's pretty wild. Like yeah. he's able to jump really far. Like he can jump.
A lot of the focus on the monkey jumping. Whoa,
hundreds
big,
of thousands
like
of miles.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
He's also able to do a thing called cloud calling.
Okay.
So he's able to jump on a cloud
Mario.
And fly around. Where do you think that's from?
Mario.
Dragon Ball Z.
Well, Dragon Ball Z doesn't predate the Jumpman, does it? Mario?
No, but the idea of
Mario
like,
jumps on a cloud.
Then flies around on a cloud?
Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the Monkey King.
Yeah, I would say that DBZ stole it from Mario.
I don't think. I
they
think
probably
they
shared it.
I think they got it from
well,
the
they
Monkey
probably
King.
Got it from the Monkey
that's,
King. You're, I see what you're saying.
That's what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, you're right.
You get it from Mario.
I thought the
you
Monkey
brought that
King
up.
May have gotten it from Mario.
You thought the Monkey King got it from Mario? The Monkey?
I don't know how old Mario is. They haven't made a biopic about it yet.
So, anyway. They actually did. Chris Pratt played the voice of Mario.
Mm.
That was a biopic. Okay,
that's considered a biopic.
That is.
I see.
So the Monkey King acquires all these strengths, right? And the point of it is like there's like six chapters on telling about like how the Monkey King gets all these powers and like what he's capable of doing. And his major attributes are, of course, like the jumping around. He can go like super far, right? He is immortal, can't
sure.
die. Okay, he also has the ability to take any amount of like single hairs off of his body, chew them up in his mouth, spit them out, say a magical chant, and they can turn into one for one of him, of whatever he looks like. He's also mastered 72 transformations.
Yeah.
So he can transform into different animals, make himself huge, make himself small.
So being a king is kind of like his side hustle.
Was the first lowest title.
Yeah.
Everything
I like that. I like that.
He's constantly growing.
Kind of dismissing society.
And he has this magical staff that he can control. He can say, grow smaller, grow larger.
I think this is the most research you've ever done on any topic you've brought.
It's cool. It's cool shit. All of this to say, so like, there's like all these chapters on like who this dude is.
Yeah.
And then the story really begins.
Oh, nice.
And the story really is he's in penance. He's underneath a mountain, right? Mm-hmm. And he's trapped there because Buddha tricked him into like, because he was causing such a problem with the Jade Emperor in heaven that he was like, okay, we got to do something with this guy. And Buddha goes, I'm going to ask him to jump out of the palm of my hand. If he can't, if he can do that, whatever. If he can't, we'll trap him. And then he has to, the Buddha's like, he's got to, you know, now he's got to be in this quote unquote.
Sure. Prison. Buddha's a trickster. I like when he's a little tricky like that.
So Sun Wukong tries to jump out of the palm, gets to the end of this massive like canyon. And he sees these four fleshy pillars, writes in ink. Cause he takes off one of his hairs. Uh-huh. He's like, turn into a little like ink blot, writes Monkey King was here. Then he pisses at the base of the pillar. Uh-huh. And then jumps out and he's like, did it, bitch. And the Buddha's like, no, he didn't, and shows him where he wrote it and the piss stain on his Buddha's hand. And he's like, what the fuck? Gets thrown at the bottom of a mountain.
What was the trick?
Buddha tested with the trick was, if you can jump out of my palm.
Yeah.
If you're that good,
uh-huh,
then there's no punishment. The Jade Emperor will.
But he didn't jump out of his palm?
No, because Buddha could make his palm so big.
Like, and so he jumped out of what then?
Nothing. He just stayed on his palm the entire time. Buddha made his palm so massive.
Yeah, I see.
That the Monkey King wasn't able to jump out of it.
Okay. Right?
So just thereby laying the groundwork that Buddha is that powerful.
Sure.
Everyone can't stop the Monkey King.
This is giving a little quantum mania to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. So the real story kicks off when a Buddhist monk is going out looking to get these scriptures. So their journey to the West is just that. They are going to India to find these ancient scriptures to bring back, right? And you know, the journey is so treacherous and so scary. There's all these demons out there that are trying to kill and eat the different pilgrims and all that shit, that Buddha pretty much is like, look, Monkey King, you know, like part of your penance is like, if you stay by the path of Buddha and you like, you know, practice these tenements and you protect this pilgrim, you'll be good to go. You'll mm-hmm. be free. And he's like, fuck yeah, let's do it. So he does. And of course he can't help but be himself and get into like trouble and like scam people and just be truly an annoying nuisance.
Yeah.
Like the way he's like says fuck you to power and authority throughout the book is insane.
Yeah.
And really funny. And I can only
imagine. But is he like morally good or is he like morally chaotic?
No. Like immoral chaotic. Uh-huh. So like I think he's chaotic good.
Okay.
Or like at the end of the day, he wants to protect the people he loves and he wants to stand up for the things that he thinks are correct, but he's selfish and he's like fairly simple and wants like all of life's pleasures.
Uh-huh.
Right. So
and he came from a stone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he just wants to, you know, to do what he wants. But now that he has to be on the right path, he kind of is nudged further and forced into being like, I got to be morally correct. But still beats the shit out of everybody, like kicks ass, is like a master of kung fu, has a staff that can change size and like move to whatever he needs it to. Really cool character. Very, mm-hmm. very fun. And when I mentioned earlier that he was used as propaganda in Maoist China,
mm-hmm.
And they were making the comment that generationally that people will adopt different attributes of this character to promote certain kind of messages or like personality traits for the generation. And that's the same thing where in Mao Zedong's regime, this character was used as like a people's revolution to say like, fuck authority. Come on. Look at this guy who's so like anti-authority.
Anti-Mao.
No, because remember, they were against...
When he was in rule, though.
Exactly. Like when they were coming up.
And
then they had to change it. They're like, okay.
They're like, actually, he liked to obey.
He was pretty chill about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just amazing. You're like, wow, man, using like, you know, Rosie the Riveter, these things. I thought that was just like, you know, we don't have anything as Americans.
Yeah.
Outside of like Captain America. These things that are new. These are new things that like, it wasn't like our great grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Uncle Sam and he's just recruiting you.
Yeah. We don't give a fuck about Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
He's taking a shit with the door open.
I think as close as we get to having like a cultural sort of like revolutionary icon, it's Mr. Six from Six Flags.
That old guy?
That's the only one we totally revere.
I was going to say Santa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like the only thing we got. But that's not even ours only. But it was just fascinating to read this story, and I'm still not done with it. And this is still just like a version of the translation of one of the stories.
Sure, yeah.
So many of the stories weren't even like, you know, put within this translation. So it's still a lot to dig through and get to. But I'm now I'm like, what other Chinese fiction is out there that's like old school that I'm like, oh, I got to read this shit because it's fun as hell.
Yeah.
And it's crazy the shit that goes there.
Well, what I like about it, and this is my what I would do, but what I like about it is that it kind of follows like the general landscape of like a video game narrative.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like you're going around getting these achievements, you know, you get like your setup and then now you go get all your powers and now the narrative starts. I would just ask that my life more clearly follow that same sort of video game narrative of challenges to get achievements that give me magical powers.
That's legit.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, this is what I would do. I would like the ability to rip hair off of my body, chew it up, spit it out, and then those hairs turn into a one-for-one of me.
Yeah.
Except the thing that I'm not...
would love that.
The thing that I didn't realize, though, the monkey paw kind of wish of it all, is that the clones that I've created from the hair... are still wet and chewed up. So they look all fucked up.
Mm.
Like they don't look good. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And the first time I did it, I just got a big glob of chest hair. I just ripped out.
Yeah.
Which I'm bleeding from the chest.
Yeah.
So it hurt.
But it's going to make a little one for one of you.
Exactly. But again, not the ones I want. And I'm gonna have to take care of that.
Yeah.
I can't let that.
Yeah. It becomes like a totally self-involved narrative where it's just you versus you all the time.
And yeah. It's the one. Jelly's the one.
Yes. Yes. But it's in a single verse, not a multiverse. Moving right along. Now, I would argue that this seems like something I would have written down, but in fact, this is something you wrote down.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to hear you talk about it.
And I'm excited for you to listen because guess what, bud? That's something you don't do often, all right?
Whoa, I do feel like I just sat in silence for like the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, wake up. Took you a while.
That was a hard one. It's, you know, I played chess the other night in a nerve-wracking setting, and so I bit my nails a little bit.
Nerve-wracking setting?
Yeah, like I was a little bit more anxious because the person I was playing was really good, so I was biting my nails more than I normally do, and so
you gotta get me in these rooms, man.
The nails down a little
bit. You gotta get me these. I gotta humble.
I was thinking I would like to set up a third camera during one of these recordings, and we can play a game of chess during it. We did that one live show where we played chess during it a few times. Remember?
Yeah, people didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is called Relic Neutrinos.
Yeah.
Now, I love this, really because of the word relic.
Yeah, he called me excited to talk about this yesterday, and I was like, well, what do you know about it? And it didn't seem like he knows anything about it, but he kept saying, but I really like the phrase,
I relic love neutrinos. The phrase, and it's also like the cosmic...
background,
probably. Cosmic neutrino background or something like that.
Yeah,
and what this is, what a relic neutrino is, is these are evidence of the Big Bang. So this is after the Big Bang, seconds later, these just neutrinos that are floating out in the atmosphere that have not been absorbed to make a sun, didn't get like globbed together to be an asteroid.
Well, because they're so small, they're considered to be of like the 12 elementary particles of nature. And so they're so small that they have like the smallest mass ever. And when you talk about things that are this small too, the way that you describe like what they are structurally, like the way that you differentiate between them is you say flavors.
Ooh.
And so it's like flavors have to do with like spin and structure of the super small thing.
Look, you get into the relics.
Yeah.
You get into fun names again.
Yeah.
Like this is the kind of science people fucking need, dude. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're talking flavors with science. I'm down with this.
Well, when stuff gets like quantum, everything gets so weird and complicated like that.
Yeah, but that's when I'm like this. So now we're in fun times.
Yeah,
this
is
fun. And we know that these exist because of tests on Earth.
Yes.
So that's how
did some research on this.
We're not at the Big Bang. Okay. We're not at that point. We can't reach that. Okay. But we can do these tests here on Earth that can see these relics.
Uh-huh.
And I just love the idea because, like, you know, I'm talking about mythology. You know, I'm talking about the monkey king. Oh, like back in the ancient shit, it's fun because you're like the what ifs. There is evidence of a what if. These relics
Yeah.
Of this event. So cool.
What is it called in Star Wars? The Force? What is that made of? Midichlorians?
Yeah, midichlorians.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like that. Oh, yeah, because I was thinking of mitochondria. That's the one.
And it's actually Facebook-ichlorians. I'm not going to call it Meta.
Wow.
I'm not going to do that.
Wow. I actually like that. I think that's funny.
I'm not going to countdown to that shit, okay? But it's just... What the fuck?
Yeah.
Someone was able...
Well, it's so amazing to be part of the human species where really smart people have figured out stuff like that.
Yep.
Like blasting something super small with focused ray of protons and all this. And you're like,
okay.
Whoa. And then they're like, and that means this about the universe? I'm like, whoa. Okay. You are breaking it down. I don't really follow, but I'm close.
How does that help student debt, though?
Yes.
You know what I mean? How is that getting
How can we have infinite free energy on Earth?
Yeah, do you mind getting UBI when you're working on that?
Yeah.
How much does that proton beam cost, asshole? Yeah.
No, but to me, obviously, those
questions... And you're not going to get extra...
Obviously, those questions are more important, I would say, than what we're doing as human beings in our totally doomed societies.
No.
Like we should do all those big questions. That's more important than universal basic income.
Universal basic income are going to give us those answers quicker and like
I see what you're saying. But I'm saying like if we could dump it all into one thing, I would go, let's just like understand the fundamental nature of reality
and then
because what greater contribution is there to, you know, generations of conscious thought?
I don't know, having a good time.
Well, no, that'd be great. But
making sure there's Instagram content for our grandkids.
Yeah, that's true. Our kids are gonna want the reels.
They need them. Okay.
Yeah.
They're gonna want to see what I was trying to do with the trend.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They're.
Yeah.
They need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is badass. I just think it's so fun and so cool that we're able to find relics in space.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, yeah, it's all super. I mean, you know, the way that you find most of this stuff is you know, they shoot out like waves of, you know, light, radio waves, all these sorts of, it's like so much data exists on like infrared scales and, you know, like invisible sort of light. And then you do all these like tests to figure out how these things react, like the Large Hadron Collider and all that stuff. It's truly so amazing.
Didn't they just find the ghost particle or something? Like that? They found something.
I'm not sure. I'm sure they did. It's always some new crazy thing.
It's a big.
Is it related to dark matter or something?
I don't fucking. I didn't read the thing. They just.
I went to the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva, Switzerland, when I was in my 20s. It was a really fascinating place.
Were you working there? You sweeping up?
No, I was. What was I doing? I was just kind of going around the world at that time in my life, and like I didn't get very far. And but then I went there and I got like a tour and I spent a little bit of time there.
You got to go in the tube.
They threw me in the tube, yeah. And they just like threw a bunch of matter at me and I shit my pants. And then they were like, I hope you had fun, kid. And they gave me like a little spank on the bottom. And I was like, that's grosser for you than it is for me.
Because there's a whole bunch of dumpy back there.
Because I heard the noise. And I was like, it's definitely gross and demeaning to me. But I think it is worse for you.
They couldn't care, man.
Yeah, they didn't seem to care at all. And they didn't have gloves on, though.
Those Genevians, they don't give a shit.
Yes,
dude.
Yeah.
This is what I would do about relic neutrinos,
okay?
Is all of them together are going to make some kind of ancient cosmic aqueduct, obviously.
Sure.
Or some kind of ancient pyramid. I don't know what the building was.
Sure.
Right? We don't know what that was.
Sure.
Because the Great Bang, the Big Bang, what exploded?
Yeah.
Some kind of building, obviously.
Yeah.
Some kind of ancient-ass building. Or maybe an ancient-ass civilization. And when that civilization exploded, just like we're all made of stars, all that shit got brought down to its simplest, tiniest pieces and shot out. Mm-hmm. So if we think of it like that,
no problem.
There's a relic neutrino, then there must be a cosmic civilization that existed before us.
Yes.
So what we got to do is we got to find all these tiny, almost impossible to see and find relic neutrinos, put them together, because hopefully that's going to build some kind of map. And then we're able to read that map, not like Alien when they go and they go, oh, we're going back to the planet. It's so scary.
Not that.
Okay. The map's going to show us exactly what to go to again. When we get there, we're actually going to find a couple people hanging out. And they're going to be like, oh, what's going on? And we're going to talk to them. They're going to tell us, like, oh, this is an old city. You don't want to come here. Like, no, we do want to go.
So it's just more bullshit, too. It's just more people with their little lores. This is an old city. That's annoying. I don't like that civilization.
All right.
But so then what happens there? What happens there?
No, if you're going to be like that.
Guide stuff. What happens?
If you're not going to be into it.
Yeah. All right, fine. So yeah, we'll leave it as a cliffhanger there then.
Season 2.
And what I would do with relic neutrinos, very similar, but I would go down a fifth element route, bring some one creature to life from those relic neutrinos, make one living
the perfect
contemporary perfect man or woman. neutrino person.
Being, yeah.
Being. And then I would have them, I would assume they're going to be evil, and then I would just kind of let them get, like, just rip it in, okay, in our, in
so,
our,
so you're pretty much just doing, like, a scientific portal to hell.
See if we can create a little god character and see what it wants to do. It what are the relic neutrinos like it's gonna all wanna get put together to do? We're just assuming. Like, I'm saying my corporation that brings the relic neutrinos to life, we know in our hearts, in our like, corporate heart, that we are evil. And so we're like, look, we don't know for sure that when this relic neutrino being comes to life, it's going to be evil, but it sure is what we're hoping for.
So this is like,
and so we're bringing it back, but then it comes back to life, and then it's up to it's, you know, it's going to be up to what me happens. To
stop it.
We're going to see. It's going to maybe it's going to be like, all I want to do is play on my PS5.
It's going to be up to me to stop it. Okay. And let me tell you this, I'm going to get it done.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll try.
Oh, I'm going to get it done.
Okay, great. Hope that helped.
Hope that helped. Once again, back to me.
Yeah, it's basically all your topics today, but I feel like it's all your topics masquerading as my topics.
And it doesn't that piss your ass?
It pisses my ass a little bit, but you got a lot of good topics today.
I'll say that. And I'll say again, yeah, this is from another book I'm reading, listening to. It's like, look, I got the Libby app. It's a library app. These are free books to download.
I'm hearing a lot about this recently.
Libby's the shit. Use it, for gosh sakes, okay? Use it, you son of a... Mm-hmm. So, this is all about mind processing. Now, I'm reading a book, listening to it.
Yeah.
Called On Our Best Behavior.
Yeah. I think you've made mention of that on here before.
Lisa Lonham, all right? Great book. It's all about the 7 deadly sins. Actually, there's 8. The 8th being sadness, which got removed. Oh. Amazing. We'll get into that later. Don't you worry. All right?
I don't want to get into it.
I haven't gotten to that.
I don't want to get into
it. We're going to, because it's going to be
sad. Please, I don't want to get into it.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, good.
All right. And in the book, she's talking about how these 7 deadly sins have been used to oppress women and people in general. Like, as these are pressures on us. Like, culturally, where do they come from, and how have they been weaponized? One of the things within sloth is that we believe that we have to have a really high expenditure and high, like, output as a workforce and individual to show value now within a capitalist system. But before, it used to be as a way to show penance. Uh-huh. Protestantism showed that it was like, you know, the sweat and the work that you do, that is valuable as prayer.
Okay.
So the more you do, the more godly you can become, right? Not like, obviously, yeah, as a deity, yeah, but, you know, purity, et cetera.
Early capitalist idea.
Yeah, yeah. And within that, though, we don't pause. You don't rest. And rest is so important, not only physically, mentally, all that shit, right? And one of the pieces that she had brought up was that your mind is able to process at 60 bits per second consciously. But when you are unconscious, like if you are sleeping or if you are just, like, you know, relaxing, et cetera, your brain is able to process at 11 million bits per second.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
All right. Like, that is just wild. She's got footnotes. She's got cited material. Yeah. Am I going to bring that up? No. Mm-hmm. It's your job to buy that book or get it on Libby for free.
Yeah. I actually asked Joey if he would send me something to read about this. And then he just sent me just like a copy paste of the footnote. No context. Didn't say what it was in. Didn't give me any meaningful information. And the more I asked, the more he resisted giving me any information on this. But I'm loving all of what I'm hearing. That's right, fine. Now. It's super interesting.
And I'm not going to stop talking about it. I love, and I think we have all heard at some point or another, especially with Oppenheimer, I think, as this cultural moment of, like, how do these ideas come to these brilliant people?
Sure.
And a lot of it is what they say is that there is this unconscious download that they experience. Also within American Cosmic, that other book I was reading about aliens and there's all this other shit, like, how do they this connection between man and the unknown. And usually when you get to a certain intellect, you're like, okay, maybe God doesn't exist, but there might be a higher power, higher intelligence. Where does that come from? Maybe it's something beyond our stars. Maybe it's another civilization that's influencing me. And a lot of brilliant people throughout time have always said that these music pieces or this calculus equation or now this theorem or whatever it is doesn't come because they're thinking about it. It comes when they're not thinking about it and just hits them randomly.
Yeah.
They're resting or they're on a walk and all of a sudden they understand something.
Yeah.
And how does that happen? Why is that happening?
Yeah.
And
unconscious processing.
Exactly. Yeah. Where it's not the thing that you're focusing on. It's the thing that you're not. That's what comes to the forefront.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that checks out for me. It checks out. I mean, I love to relax for that very reason.
I think it checks out for everybody. I think we could all take a second and be like, oh yeah, when I was laying down and I just had my eyes closed and then I would just let my mind wander, all these ideas were flooding to me or all these conclusions or, you know what I mean? You're like, oh yes, that is.
Yeah.
And that's something that we don't gift ourselves more often than not.
Yeah, I agree. I actually really agree with you.
And I was like, yeah, I want to give myself more moments of rest is not the right word because of if it's loaded position within our culture.
Sure.
But that idea and that action really is what I want because you're able to relax.
Yeah.
And you're able to let your mind really flow. Mm-hmm. And there's no pressure. It's just like, yeah, come on.
Something has switched in like the last 2 minutes of you talking where your tone is taking on Instagram influencer.
You love it.
It changed.
But you love it though.
It changed where suddenly I was going like, you're giving me 8 tips right now.
But you know why it changed?
Like it changed.
Because no, body language changed and you started going like, okay.
Yeah, I started giving you too much grace. It's because I said I liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
That then you were, it was like, I could feel that we were headed toward a subscription service.
Well, now
service.
I had 15 seconds to sell you.
Like, it was so weird. It was so weird. I'm going to listen to the playback on that so I can get I want to study that. But before we get into what I would do's here, I would just like to ask you 5 questions.
Okay.
Name the Big Ten colleges.
Florida, NASA, Auburn, Clemson, City College, New York State, Syracuse, Virginia, USC, and Bourbon.
Thank you. How many holes does a straw have?
Infinite.
Who was the coolest person on the Titanic?
The iceberg.
What is, because of temperature. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Don't
I
fuck
didn't
with
see
me.
That.
Don't fuck with me.
What is the difference between weight and mass?
How much you're eating.
How many rounds does a finger gun hold?
5.
Now, great job with that. First of all, I just gotta say great job with that.
Thank you.
When it comes to our unconscious processing, I feel like you've heard that thing where it's about like if we used 100% of our brain, we could do all this sort of whatever shit. Yeah, that does feel like a really sloppy sort of like old wives' tale.
Yeah.
But you know, but there is some level of like that we use, you know, a small percentage of our brain at once.
60 bits versus 11 million.
Yeah. But I feel like I can really feel that, not to bring up chess, but like I, you know, when you are, sometimes when you're in the hole where you're trying to figure something out so hard,
yep.
I can actually feel that I'm not thinking anything.
Yeah.
Like it's my whole brain feels clogged where I'm just going on like that piece, where it does feel like then if you're thinking about it way less, then it's so much less.
I believe that, especially in playing chess with you and knowing that you have these outcomes already planned up, you have end game ready, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
And everyone goes into this game against you. I've seen them very nervous.
Oh, thank you.
Because they don't have
the
experience needed, and you've talked so much about it.
I'm so annoying.
That, well, no, they want to do a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Everybody I play is good. I never play anybody bad.
Great.
No, I'm saying everyone can beat me. I lose all the time.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what I have appreciated when I'm playing you is going in there and not being like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like not having a plan is my advantage.
Yeah, sometimes it gets stressful.
Because
when you're playing someone who has no plan at all.
Because you're just like,
then you're doing all this calculating of like possible moves and they're not doing any. And so like that's true.
You do more work for me.
That is true.
Than not. So
I'll get really stressed during some games like that where I kind of go like, I should definitely be winning. But it's like every move is so chaotic here that I don't even know.
And I love that. And it's just being like, no, I'm not going to put pressure on this.
Yeah.
Same thing with performance. Same thing with other things. When you go like, not that I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I think good improv is definitely a lot of unconscious processing.
1,000%.
Because I feel like the worst thing that can happen for you is you get too conscious of your
thoughts. It's the worst thing.
That's why I feel like it's harder to do big group improv because if I'm standing on a back line, it's almost like I become too aware of too many thoughts.
Well, you have so much time to think.
Yes,
now.
Yes. That's why I so prefer two person because then you just don't get to, you don't have any of that thinking time.
There's also the pressure of like etiquette, et cetera.
Yes, true.
But just the ability to not think but still care is what I'm hunting for.
Here's what I would do. I would have one day a year where everyone is using 100% of their brain. Jesus. One day a year, it just cranks on for all of us. We're all up to that. Yeah. And we just see. But then the rest of the year, we kind of live in the fallout of whatever. Because yeah. I kind of feel like on that day, like everyone would have like the power of like gods.
Okay.
You know, wherever
your we tummy all, got forward.
We can all fly and we're all like, we have all this power. We're moving, collapsing matter, you know, this. All this sort of stuff. And we're doing that.
Let
and
me,
but
hold
then,
on,
but
hold
then
on.
Every other day for the rest of the year, we're all going like, that was when you have infinite power, you're a psycho. But right now, when you don't have infinite power, you're totally chill. And everyone's like, but now we all go, but you get scary when you're at 100.
I want to make a comment here. You said infinite power and you led with your tummy.
Yeah, I did. I pushed out a little bit to be tough, basically.
Well, I'm down with that. I just want that to be a note.
Yeah.
When you have 100% brain power, you go tummy first.
You crank the tum.
All right, I'm down with that. I think that's scary. I do think the fallout is going to be severe.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be in, like, you said the fog. I think that's a perfect way to put it. There's a hangover.
Yeah.
It's not really going to be healed until a couple weeks before the next 100.
Yeah, and then when everyone starts getting nervous, but also that's when you start planning.
But you're also not at 100% and you're planning not at 100%.
Yeah. No, but you're still doing it. You're basically treating it like it's the purge day. Like you still have a bomb shelter now and you're kind of going like, I think I got to be down in the bomb shelter.
I don't like this. It sounds like a lot of people are going to get hurt for a very few amount of people to do well.
Yeah.
So this is what I would do about mind processing, especially the subconscious. 11 million bits per second.
Yeah, because you're a data and a numbers guy.
I am. You know me, dude, okay? 60 bits per second when you're thinking about it. It's just like... so insane, that number.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like if you did your test my internet speed, yes, you got those like, numbers, you'd be like, well, give me the other service.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So this is what I would do. I would have us unconscious all the time.
Yeah.
I'd like people driving around.
Put us
around,
on the dream plane.
You know what I mean? Like, no consciousness whatsoever.
Yeah.
If that's what's going on, this is what the world...
I mean, is that what the Matrix is? Aren't they like totally sedate? I mean, they're mostly unconscious, I guess.
Physically. Those people are put into like a coma. They're not like actually...
Oh, okay. That's kind of what you're describing, isn't it?
No, you're
saying our conscious minds are turned off, but we're still moving about the world.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Whoa, okay. Okay. So kind of the opposite of mine. Where mine is like you're given complete control of every single aspect of your body and every atom around you. You're saying turn it off.
I don't care about that.
Let's live in the mind space where we're all completely separate of each other, but our bodies are still walking around.
Come on, Mike. That's not what I'm saying at all. Okay. That's not what I'm saying.
Let's hear it.
If this is the world we're living in, where the best brains, whatever, everyone's doing the best they can at this pace, no wonder this sucks. Right? Because this is like no one's actually processed. No one's doing the thing at the best they can because we're not allowing ourselves to. But if we shut off our body, if we shut off our consciousness, still able to do things, still able to go to the grocery store, still able to cut with a knife, all right? Like that, but we're unconscious.
Sure.
Unconscious, right?
Yeah.
Imagine the utopia that could be achieved.
Here's what I'll say. I want to see it. I want to see it.
Hey, green light it.
I don't think it makes any sense, but I sort of feel like if I watched it in a movie, I would go, okay.
TriStar Pictures, green light this.
Yeah, great. Moving right along. Now, this one I actually wanted to bring up a little bit during the last one.
Say it.
I want to talk about our fucking phones.
Like,
just our phones.
Oh, yeah.
The relationship to the phone. It annoys the shit out of me.
Wow.
Recently, I've been feeling like a sort of a real awareness of the weight of it. I feel it both with my Apple Watch, my ability to be contacted, basically.
Well, you're wearing things on you that are purely for conversation.
Like, yeah.
Like you're inviting the world to talk to you with the watch,
the
phone. You have the watch, so you don't need to answer your phone and you can just go to your wrist to do it.
But the feeling of, I think, like being married and being a parent, I guess... I feel like I have to always be able to be contacted.
Well, now,
So I do have to. But so there was like the other day I had this.
You don't have to.
I had an opportunity, but I do in this weird, unless I'm just like right there.
Well, now you do because of how the world's connected. But it was, it's not
necessary. No, definitely. But like, for instance, I had a few hours the other day of unexpected free time. And during that time, I was like, I'm just going to lay on the couch right now and read. And I was laying there reading, but my phone was nearby and I just kept feeling like I would read a little bit and I'd go like, wow, this book is so good. And then I would have like the instinct to look on Instagram or like,
you're addicted to it.
See if I can feel another version of that or do a chess puzzle or like play a quick chess game. Like
all
of these little, or check my texts or check my emails, make sure that thing was sent. You know, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It feels very similar to how I feel about commercials, where it feels like It's this nagging annoyance mm-hmm. that's like chipping at our brains.
Well, at any moment, opportunity could come through that device.
Yeah.
At any moment, something horrific could come through that device. Mm-hmm. There is brilliance and then there is just terror constantly yeah. on it. We've experienced everything through it.
And so, we're so addicted to whatever the pieces of that are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they designed beautifully. So, yeah. Like the madness that created this. I mean, the really evil scientists that are behind these devices.
Yeah, but no, yes, on some of the levels of it, like when there's conscious stuff of keeping you engaged, yeah. you know, a lot of evil programming. But what's crazy is that when you break production lines down to component enough parts, it's sort of like everyone is just trying to make a thing as good as possible for the as a component, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, it's like we're trying to make the screen the best this.
Oh, yeah.
And we're trying to make the glass we use the best this. Well, and the body the best this.
The cameras.
And so it's like none of those people are nefarious, but they're all providing the parts to the Death Star.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. But it is. It's like I get like, hey, that's just what's being asked for us to produce.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but sure, the biggest company is asking that this yeah. for this product. You're like, you make it, duh, right? That's what this world is. But it's just a bummer that where does it really stop? Because Instagram is the reason we have better cameras.
Yeah,
on our phones.
Right.
Social media is the reason that we have face altering filters uh-huh. and augmented reality
yeah.
now within apps and all the other shit. Like that's why we have those things.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like those things are built in service to the thing.
Because that thing.
Addiction, yeah.
So the phone itself, evil? No, it's just a tool, but the pieces on that device.
Yeah. Yeah, and the things that seem to like generate the most interest and attention are so bad.
Yes. Because it's now everyone gets to use them. Everyone gets to like play on this playground. Which is good, I guess, but it's like, it's just bad. It's all yeah. bad. I don't like it. I know what you mean. I was recently looking at dumb phones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the thing that I
always will look at, whenever I see a new one of those pop up, I'll always look
yeah,
at
there's
it.
Like Light, I think is one of them or some, uh-huh. something like that. Or there's, well, one was called.
We don't need to do an ad.
Yeah, it doesn't give it. It's hey, well, fine. Unless they give us one for free.
Well, then I would do an
then
ad.
Then I'll do an course. Ad.
I'll okay? do anything.
And that's going to be on another podcast. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be on this podcast. The ads yeah. are going to be on another podcast, mm-hmm. right? But I love the idea of having a phone that just has maps and I can just call and text. That's uh-huh. all. That's all I want to do, really. I just needed to know where to go and all shit. But I don't know what life would be like outside
of... But you feel, or I feel like the fear of being left out of fun, nice little things. I have so many nice little text threads where we're always
yeah, yeah.
chatting about random
but,
stuff.
And also, but the reality is, too, we need to be online. We got like yeah. our business and entertainment.
Yeah.
You have to be front-facing in that regard.
It's got, so bizarre.
It's crazy. But that's the new frontier. That's just what it is. And the new frontier has been that way for a long time.
How long do you think that the Apple like eyewear thing, how long do you think that'll last? Because doesn't it feel like it's like in between technology, between two things?
1,000%. Like no one wants to wear it. Wearable tech has never been something that people like. Wrist is like probably the easiest because yeah. it's a watch. But on your face, the price point is so high.
Yeah, no yeah. But buying. Even if it wasn't high, it still feels like...
No.
It, you just kind of go like, it's like fixing a problem that doesn't exist.
I'll say this. Video games, VR, I don't know that many people that have VR.
No, I don't either.
So, I'm sure.
Oh, but a few times I've done it. When I had the Google Pixel, you could do a thing with that where you have this like remote and you put on this thing for a VR thing.
Uh-huh.
And that was pretty fun. I enjoyed it.
Sure.
Like I sort of, if it was really convenient, I would probably be
but
into
it. Just wearing the, having to yeah. put that on is that's the
hurdle. And it just feels really dumb. Like it really feels dumb.
There's going to be a generation that doesn't feel that way. I don't know when.
Yes, that's true. But a part of me goes, oh, it's got to be like a contact lens that does it.
Something.
Yeah, it's got to be so much smaller.
Can't
but,
be invasive.
But it's basically like you're. It's basically Neuralink as well. You know,
ain't gonna do that.
You're not going to. But the next generation, you know,
ain't gonna do
it. I'm pro that sort of thing. I find it interesting.
Give me another company to do it. I don't care.
Oh yeah, yeah. Not that one in particular. No, but I mean like becoming a cyborg. Give me like, that makes sense.
Give me the Colgate company. I'll do their
yeah, role. Yeah.
All right. I Different. Trust the Colgate.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. But here's what I do with our phones is I would accelerate us to whatever the next technology is.
Okay.
Just now. Because I kind of feel like the next however many years of the phone dominance, I don't really want to be a part of it. I really would like to not have the phone, but I would like to not give up the conveniences of it. So let me just get into whatever the next new bad technology
is. Okay, interesting. I don't know what that is. I think you're talking about meth or something like that.
No, I think I'm probably talking about some sort of neural link of some kind.
Well, I'm not going to let, you're not going to do that. I'm not going
to
go down.
Let me be a little like a robot. Let me just jump right to the robot.
That's not going to happen, bud. You're human through and through. Sorry. This is what I would do about phones. And this might cause a little problem at first, but I guarantee you at the end of the day, it's going to cause a lot of different laws and a lot of curbing of our need for it. Because anytime you need to make a call, anytime you want to scroll Instagram, we all have phones on us, but you can't use your phone to get it. Somebody else has a phone that you're able to unlock with a face lock, but you got to find it. Mm-hmm. So you got to run up to anybody you can find who's got their phone on, snatch it out of their hands, put it up to your face to see if that one works for your face.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing to you.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know,
so it's just a frantic world now.
That's it. But here's the thing.
And it's social. It's a little social.
A little more face-to-face contact here. Okay. But there's ways to do it politely, et cetera. But I don't think people are going to do that. I don't think most people are going to want to be that chill trying to get their fucking drug. All right. So what's going to happen? We're going to have to make new laws. Hey, less phones on the street. Or we're going to have one phone in the public library. Everyone gets 5 minutes with it and then move the fuck on. Uh-huh. Right? So that way we can try to curb this addiction to the phone. Okay. Because it's, you can have a phone, but you're not going to be able to unlock it with your face or code. Yeah. Somebody else will.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh.
I like that.
And it's never the same. It's not like, oh shit, there's Mike. It's gonna go.
Although that can be great.
It's not gonna
happen. It won't be like
that. It's not gonna be like that.
But it's someone in your area, someone you conceivably could get to.
Yes.
It's not someone in another country.
It's a DNA code that goes within like a 100-mile radius.
Yeah. So it's always nearby, but you don't know where.
It's a 100-mile radius.
Yeah. And that's not that near.
That's circles.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Moving on.
Let's go.
I have bad news for you.
Why must I be tortured again by all this?
It might be a strange idea, but it's mine.
So, here we go.
You are known as, your whole life, you're known as the gas king. You always got to fart. You're always farting no matter what. Like, you are just one of these guys who's always got to fart.
I'm the gas king.
Yeah. But you're still you. You're still normal Joey, that's, you know, all this sort of stuff. But who's an actor you think is really handsome?
Oh, so many.
Just pick anyone.
Any actor?
Yeah.
So many.
Okay, do you think Daniel Craig is handsome?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll say that. The longer you hold in your fart,
the more I look like Daniel.
The more you look at, like, but almost where you go, you are literally identical to him.
Sure, I sew up my butt.
Okay, yeah, so you're always holding it in, but you're always going to have to let it rip at some point, too. No, you're kind of like Clayface from Batman, where you can only hold the power of looking like another person for so long.
I show it up.
But it's still going to have to come out, Joe. Like, that's just how the body works, okay? You can't just build it up forever. That's not how the body works, and that's certainly not how the conditional works. So you have to be able to fart. So I'm asking you, how do you schedule it?
If I'm Daniel Craig,
let's say it takes 3 days of holding in a fart to look like him.
It's going to be a lot longer because I showed it up. And if I'm Daniel Craig, I'm going to use his access to get the best doctors in the world
to really sew that sucker up.
Sew it up and get and like figure a way to get the gas out.
You're going to trap the ghost of Mars in there.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You're given the ability.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
You're given the ability to master every single martial art in the world.
I love this.
Dana White comes to you.
Yeah.
Because we got a UFC heavyweight fight going on.
Heavyweight
fight going on, okay? It's you versus Conor McGregor versus Mike Tyson in his prime.
Yeah.
All right? We need you to do this because you're the only person who can defeat them both
and
save the world.
Yeah.
Now, here's the kicker. You can kick.
Okay.
What do you do?
I would do, what did Ip Man teach? Wing Chun? Mm-hmm. I would do that. And because Mike Tyson is actually in, I think, Ip Man 3.
Yeah.
I would fully just do a new Ip Man movie and I would cast.
Beat the shit. Ip Man kicks ass.
Yeah.
Dude.
Oh, I love Ip Man. I could watch that absolutely.
Is that Donnie Chen?
I was just going to say Donnie Chen. I would cast him.
Which I think there's a story where he beat the shit of like a couple guys in an alleyway.
The actor did?
Yeah, because he's like they like run up.
He's
on him.
So compelling. He's such a good actor.
Oh, yeah.
It's so cool.
And like, I'm like, dude, you could.
Ip Man 1 is so good. I love that movie.
So, dude, he's the shit.
Yeah, but so, yeah, I would make Ip Man 5 or so.
Sick, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're looking at your body in the mirror and you're going like,
what's
I look good.
What's up with me and my body now, man? What's up with this body question?
What was the other one?
Yeah, I mean, I got a fart and then I got to show my butt.
You're the
up.
Gas king. You made it that you sew up your butt. You're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're going like, you know, I'm looking good. I'm feeling good about myself.
Is this Tobey Maguire Spider-Man? When I wake up.
Yeah, you look like that. Yeah, and you're really thrilled about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you had a transformation overnight, actually. And you woke up and you're loving what you see.
But
now you don't need them. They actually blur your vision. But so you have like a hangout with your boys coming up and you're really excited about this. And you're kind of looking at your abs in the mirror and you poke it and you discover your skin is paper thin. Your finger goes right in and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Am I bleeding?
It's gush, but you immediately get paper. You go like, you got to treat
it. Because if my skin is paper, then the paper will heal it.
Yes, exactly. So you add a little bit of paper on there. You're like, I'm all good.
You're healed.
But then you go like, okay, let me just see how bad this is. So you take your finger and you flick on the wall. And again, it's like paper. Your skin just rips.
But I get more paper.
Yeah, you just glob it on there, right? But you're like, I'm going to hang out with my boys. We're going to be roughhousing. Like, what am I going to? Because you also want to show off the bod.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're like, how am I going to go hang out with my boys, who I'm definitely going to be roughhousing with, but also show off that I'm super jacked, but also not have anyone roughhouse me because I will die.
I know what to do.
Yeah.
So like, I get in there, everyone's like, you know, cracking a brew and we're having a good time, and I don't do the twist top because it's going to cut.
You got to be so scared. So careful. This is worse than brittle bone syndrome.
So what I do is I take off my top immediately. Everyone's like, holy shit, going crazy.
I'm scared that they're going to want to fist bump.
My buddy
bump.
Wants to drop a shoulder.
Yeah.
I pull out a Desert Eagle. And boom, boom, boom.
No!
I hit him in the legs.
Oh, okay.
He's fine.
So you're not killing anyone.
No,
you're just
vital.
Kneecapping. Not exactly. Even kneecapping.
No, no. He's down. He's down. Yeah. I mean, but destroyed his shins.
But no one's able to get near you. And then what? You're like, we're still just going to hang out?
Well, that's the goal.
Because
so
I kind of go like, just don't go. I almost feel like just don't go to the hangout.
You just said I got to go hang with the boys.
But I almost thought that you would sort of see the logic of like, well, no, because inevitably someone's going to make contact with me. But you're sort of like, no, it's all good. I'll hang out. I'll just shoot all of them in the leg with my Desert Eagle.
I just got a Desert. I'm just going
to. Oh, just a few of them. Some guys.
First one that rushes.
Yeah. You pop. So the first guy goes at you. You pull out. Have they known you to be a gun guy?
Not at all.
No. So this is a complete surprise to them. And you're jacked.
Do you know how illegal it is for me to get that gun right like immediately?
Yeah, I assume a Desert Eagle. Oh, so you haven't even been a gun guy in secretly.
No.
You were like, my skin is paper thin now. I got to go get a Desert
Eagle. You just said the conditionals, dude. I don't want to get roughhouse. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Hello?
No, it's great insight. It's great insight.
You're the Pope's assistant, okay? Right now.
Okay.
Pope's assistant.
Yeah.
Got all the sweet things going on. I mean, you get all the accesses. You know, it's like one of those things, too. It's just like they come with a tray of, like, you know, sweet goodies. You're like, the Pope's resting right now. And, like, you don't even ask. You're like, you just want that for yourself.
Yeah.
You're just going to have it, all this shit. You get wind that the Pope is going to do the same thing that Cardinal Ratzinger did, where he's like, I'm going to abdicate the throne. I'm not going to be here anymore. And you're like, fuck. If he leaves,
that's my job.
That's your job.
Yeah.
What do you do to make sure the Pope stays in that position?
Boy, how old is he, the Pope?
26, 27.
He's only 26. Wow, dude, that weighs on you.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess, you know, I guess you got to keep him fat and happy, you know? You got to keep him fat and happy. I think that every
pope... He's not happy. He's going to leave.
But every pope wants to be fat and happy. So if he's not happy, then he's not fat. Because he doesn't look fat enough. It's like my main fear. I'm sort of like fatten him up. Slow him down.
But dude, this doesn't make any sense. Like, he wants to leave because of the responsibilities and the pressures of it.
But let's slow him down a little bit.
And he's not making change.
Let's slow him down a little bit. Look, dude. Is it good for the world to have a pope that's not making change? No. Is it good for me to not have a job? Definitely no. And I see that the needs of the few outweigh the needs of the masses. I think that's how the saying goes in
Catholic,
the church. Yeah. So for my needs, I got to keep him going. So I'm pumping him full of fat foods like all the time. I'm trying to fatten him up, get him nice and slow, nice impressionable. I do my worm tongue thing. You know,
you warm his tongue?
No, I do my worm tongue thing like from Lord of the Rings.
I know.
Yes. So that's what I would do.
Okay.
You have the ability to give everyone their dream house. Anytime someone tells you what their dream house is, you have the ability to just like a genie, you can just make it appear wherever they want it.
Damn.
But the thing is that you sort of like it when someone lives in it, anything that goes wrong with it, only you can fix it. And so no one else can fix it. Like it's really, really specific problems no matter what. And so you love to give this gift out because it also makes everyone really, really grateful to you. But then each new house, you're like, if there's like an issue with the plumbing, like I got to do that. Like no one can fix anything. Or if they want to paint the walls, only you can do it.
No, no, no.
Yeah, yeah. No. So you're just not giving out the free house, huh?
I do it once and I figure out that's what it is, and I'm yeah. like, never again.
You're sort of, yeah, you're like chained to it in a way like a genie is.
Like, yeah, I'm like, no.
Yeah, and like all they got to do is say, like, we want this room to be green. And it's not like you snap your fingers and now it's green. You got to get the paint.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. You ain't doing that.
Yeah.
No.
Even though you could give every single person you know and love, and people you don't even know.
No.
You
could give them, yeah. What are they giving me?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I saw for the first time that show, what was it with Ty Pennington, where like they would go and give you a house, they move that bus. What the fuck was that show called?
I don't know. Extreme Home Makeover or something?
I think it was that. And okay. I would weep
yeah.
after it all.
Oh, that's the best. I watch any show where they give a makeover to a
Oh my God. It would destroy me yeah. of just the lack of access that people yes. like have. It's just like, yes. this is horrible.
And then you go, now you get to live in a beautiful
home. Yes, it's yes. like, get the fuck out of here, dude. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, break me down and cry.
Yes. And but then, when it comes to you providing it and then having to help them with it, you're like, it's a lot
point,
of work.
Diminishing returns.
Yeah.
At a certain point, I'm done
but,
crying.
But like, for instance, you could explain to the people that only you can do, you know, only you can do
no,
the changes.
No, they're not
so like,
care.
Can you just be happy with what you guys
no,
have?
No, people are going to weaponize it.
Yeah, you
people
think so.
People are going to weaponize it.
Yeah, when they find out that you have no choice and yeah. you have to go do it.
They're going to love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to love
I
it.
I certainly would use it.
I know. That's why you're not getting it.
Yeah.
On your arm, you have a forearm tattoo, okay, that you're able to like activate and it comes alive, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, you have two options to get. Sorry, just two, bud. You know how I roll.
Yeah,
the
I do.
The first one is a snake with a human body, human legs, human head. It's a snake.
Okay. Yeah, I just know that.
The second one is a whole bunch of balloons. It's uh-huh. like four balloons. But inside the balloons, it's not helium. It's sand. Which one do you pick?
I guess the sand balloons.
Okay.
Well, that's the issue I have with you. Okay. Thank you, guys. Goodbye.
Bye.